Remember that? That some things you are better to feel than just be told about them, like a cake or hearing music, to feel these things. This morning we're coming to a very familiar portion of God's Word. Maybe if I preached from the book of Zephaniah, you might go, oh, that's interesting. But when you come to Jesus being the Good Shepherd, it's easy to go, yeah, we've heard that before. We know that, and it just washes over you. And yet this is such great teaching and great truths that are here for us this morning. So I'm going to just pray a brief prayer that the Lord would help us to feel these truths and know them and believe what we believe, that Jesus really is our Good Shepherd, and that as His people we need a Good Shepherd. Let's come before God. Let's ask for His help. Our loving Father, we bow in Your presence. We praise and thank You that we are Your children, saved by Your grace. We thank You that many of us this morning have a testimony that Jesus is not just our Savior, that He is indeed our Good Shepherd. But Father, we pray that You would deliver us, Lord, from familiarity with holy things, with spiritual things, with these great truths. And Father, perhaps it's been our life that we're living a life, Lord, in isolation with You. We pay lip service to You, but we do not know from experience Jesus as our Good Shepherd. We're making our own decisions. We're worried and troubled about many things, when only one thing is needful, to sit at Jesus' feet and to learn of Him. So Father, we pray. I pray not just for the preaching of Your Word, but the communication of these great truths. So Father, I pray that these things would be felt and not just told. So Father, lead us and guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. During my day off, I usually go up to London. I usually pick a place. It might be a museum or it might be a specific activity that I'm wanting to do. When I don't have that, I still like to go up the town. And usually I pick an area that I go, it might be Paddington or whatever, and I just wander around getting to know it. I was wandering, about a couple of months ago, I was wandering around Marylebone. And I was walking past a shop. And my caught this T-shirt. I really like this T-shirt. I'll show you in a minute. It was a women's shop. I've known the habit of getting in women's shops, although I did go into price this in £50. £50 for a T-shirt. And they're the only people who make this T-shirt. But I love the T-shirt. This is the T-shirt. If I can get this to come up once again, Brian, it doesn't seem to work for me. He doesn't like me, this thing. Can you get it? There we go. I like this T-shirt. It's very good for those of you who are listening. It's a flower with bulging biceps used as leaves. The flower's crying, and on it says, tough and emotional. I just thought that was great. That's human life just right there, not just for females, but for everyone. We're this delicate thing. We like to think that we're tough, but deep down we are tough, and we might be, and it's certainly the case for London. I think this certainly applies to Londoners. Tough running around here and there, a strong veneer. I'm tough, I'm coping, I'm on top of my game. But we're emotional. It doesn't take much to break us, doesn't take much to cause us to dissolve into tears. That is the human condition right there. We all profess to be tough. I'm coping, I'm doing okay. But really, none of us are tough. We are this emotional person. We need to be cared for. And what we're looking at this morning is something that's on the very heart of God. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And one of the reasons why God sent to us a Savior is not just to save us, and we'll look at this in a moment and what the gospel means to be saved. We are a people who need to be cared. We need to be cared for. We need care. We need attention. We might think we can cope. We will sort it all out. We are invincible. Watch me, Lord. I can do this. Others might be failing, but I'm doing okay. When it's simply not the case. And you need to look at the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John and reaffirm that before you look at the passage, that you are tough and emotional. You are not as invincible as you think you are. And that is why God, in this chapter and throughout the Bible, paints a picture of God's people like sheep. And His desire is, as we are all like sheep, that we need care for. We need a shepherd. That's a human condition. This is not just a picture to illustrate something. These are facts. We need to be penned in. We need to be cared for. We need to be rounded up and loved and cared for. That is everybody, whether you're Welsh, Scots, Irish, Romanian, Persian, or whatever. You are that person who needs to be cared for. It's how we're made. We are tough and we are emotional. And the Lord's desire is to gather people to Himself that He loves and that He cares for. Some people just think they're tough. I don't need it. I'm doing fine. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. Many of us this morning recognize we do need not only a Savior, but one to care for us and to lead us and to guide for us. And that is what chapter 10 is all about. It's about having a sheep pen with sheep in it and a shepherd to love and to care for us. It's as simple as that. And the context of this is chapter 9. I wondered when I came to this, I'll just leave the first 21 verses of chapter 10 out, because we spent a long time, 6 or 7 weeks, on Psalm 23, the Lord our Shepherd. And it doesn't seem that long ago, and I thought, oh, we just did this, we did the Good Shepherd, well, I'll leave it out. But it's good to remind ourselves of this in the context. This isn't Psalm 23, this is John 10. It comes after John 9. And John 9 is all about shepherds not caring for the sheep. And you remember the Lord heals a blind man. He couldn't see. He comes, He gives him his sight. He restores his sight spiritually as well as physically. And we are told here what happens to this man when he starts to debate with them. They eventually kick him out. Who do you think you are? Verse 34 of chapter 9. You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Not just the building, but out of the synagogue. They excommunicated this man. No care for him, ever. The Lord had given them shepherds, leaders of the flock. And that's how they treated this man. And it's against this backdrop that Jesus now teaches in John chapter 10. He compares his ministry with their ministry. These are the religious leaders of the day. They don't really care for him. And they weren't caring for the people. And Jesus comes and he says, I am the good shepherd. We've looked at a few. We're learning a lot about Jesus as we work through John's gospel. You remember the reason why we're looking at this. If you can move that on, Brian. The reason we're looking at this is because we are reminding ourselves that John has presented this material that we might believe in Jesus. That he is the Christ, the chosen, the anointed of God, the Son of God, and that by believing in Him, we will have life in His name. And that's why we're looking at John chapter 10. We've learned He's the bread of life. Last week, He's the light of the world. Now, twice in John chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 14, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Verse 14. So Jesus comes, and he contrasts his ministry with his ministry, their ministry with his ministry. Turn with me, please, to Ezekiel chapter 34. Keep a finger in John 10. You'll find Ezekiel 34 on page 865, page 865 in the Bible, because that is the backdrop to this. It rubber stamps everything that I've been saying, that God's desire is not only to have a people and that they just muddle by in life. He knows we need a shepherd. That's why throughout history he has given spiritual leaders, whether it's Moses or the priests or whoever, he's given people to care for people. We need care. You need care. I need care. And the background to what's happening here is very similar to Ezekiel 34, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only care for themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat curds, clothe yourself with wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. That's John chapter 9. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than the flock, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds. I will hold them accountable for the flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths. And that is what's here is a great warning to pastors and elders to care for the flock, because God not only saves you, brings you into a church family. You have a pastor, you have elders who are to care for the flock. We need to be cared for. And in this, in the history of Israel, the people simply weren't being cared for. It's near the heart of God that God's people are cared for. And enter Jesus now to fulfill everything that was promised beforehand. Remember in Moses' day, may the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over his community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them and bring them in so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. It's one of the greatest things when you become a Christian that it's not only well with your soul, it's actually well with your life. Believe it or not, sometimes we forget this, that we have a Saviour who leads us and who guides us and who cares for us. I wonder if you ever make much of this. As I started to prepare this, remember that the blind man last week, he was saying, well, I don't know if he's a sinner, I don't know all these great deep theological questions, but one thing I know, I was blind and now I see. I think as Christians we need to make much of the fact that the Lord meets our felt needs. And we don't just come. I remember one of the felt needs I had. One of the things that drew me to Jesus was Jeremiah 29. As a young 20-year-old, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. That's what caused me to search after Jesus. I wasn't interested in my soul. Didn't know what a soul was. It was in the bottom of my feet. That was all. I wasn't remotely interested. My soul couldn't care a jot about my soul. But I wanted a purpose in life. Is this all there is, Lord? And you have a felt need. And Jesus is the one who can care for you, who can lead you and guide you, not just save you for all eternity, but I have come, he says, to give you life, that you may come in and out and find green pasture. I wonder if you know anything of that, that care of the Lord. Because look at Ezekiel 34, if you're still there, verse 23. God wants his people to be cared for. He wants people to be cared for. And he says, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he will tend them and will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. And then you move down to verse 11 of Ezekiel 34. This is what the Sovereign Lord said. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with him, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel and in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture. On the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. Look at verse 15. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost, bring back the strays, bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. That is chapter 10. That is now chapter 10 beginning to unfold. Ezekiel 34, I will come and I will shepherd my sheep. I will take to myself a people that I will love and that I will care for. I will be to them all that they need. That is better felt than telt. It's one thing to know that. Do you know that in your own experience? Can you say, "One, John, I don't know all these great doctrines about this doctrine and that doctrine, but one thing I know, I was blind and now I see. I wasn't cared for, but I know the Lord cares for me. He leads me and He guides me. I have hospital appointments, He goes with me. I have to try and get back into Turkey. He's sovereign, He will lead me. His will be done in my life. I don't worry about Boris Johnson. He doesn't keep me awake at night. The Lord loves me and He cares for me. He leads me and He guides me." That is what we have here this morning. So let's look at it very briefly. There's so much in this, it would take a long time. But I've already done Psalm 23. But what I want to do is just to pick out some of the things that Jesus says, to remind ourselves in them, to rejoice in them. That Jesus really is our good shepherd. He's not just interested in saving you this morning, but in caring for you. Whether you go through the deep waters, whether you're in the mountain, whether you're in the valley. So two things I wanted to note this morning. First of all, the shepherd and his sheep. Jesus contrasts his ministry with their ministry, and he likens the ministry of the leaders of his day to thieves and the hired hand. And he says, picture the pen, there's a gate, there's big walls, and so there are two groups of people who could interact with the sheep. One is a thief, one is a hired hand. And Jesus says his ministry is not like them. If a thief is coming in over the side, it's not because he's interested in the sheep for the sheep's sake. He's interested in the sheep for his sake. He's up to no good, and he doesn't really care for the sheep. He's interested in what the sheep can do for him, whether he can sell them or slaughter them or whatever. He's a thief. He doesn't care. It is the same with the hired hand. He's not quite as menacing. He's supposed to be there. He's supposed to tend the sheep. But he's paid to do this. Unlike Jesus, we see first of all that Jesus tells us that he owns the sheep. Verse 2, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him. The picture's very vivid, isn't it? It's very clear. There's a gate, and the gateman doesn't open up for anybody. He's not going to open up for somebody with a bag with swag written on the side of it. He opens up, here is the owner, in you come. They are your sheep. You own the sheep. It's something that's missed on us. If you're a sheep here this morning, Jesus owned you as the great creator God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. Jesus comes as the owner of the sheep. He came into your life not as a shepherd, but as the shepherd. He comes to you because he owns you. He created you. Your whole life is in his hands. He loves and he cares for you. And it's good to remind ourselves of this. The thieves, the robber, the hired hand, they don't really love the sheep. But Jesus comes. He comes to his own. Do you rejoice in that? That you belong to him. That you belong to Jesus. Now I belong to Jesus. Was it not for the years of time alone, but for eternity, that old hymn. He owns you forever. He owned you while you were in your mother's womb being formed. He owns you this morning. Secondly, he calls the sheep. All we're doing is just touching on these things. Look at this. The watchman opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. in the East, shepherds often had individual calls for his sheep, what I read in one of the commentaries. The sheep know the shepherd, their ears pick up. I've had the privilege of living on a, Lucille and I, on a farm when we were studying. We could, it was sheep, they didn't have cows, or it was just sheep. And we would walk through the field as the farmer would walk through the field, as his son would walk through the field. But they responded to the shepherd, to the owner of the sheep. They didn't respond to us. They would come up to us out of curiosity, but they knew the shepherd. And one of the commentators says that even if a shepherd tries to disguise his voice and dress like the shepherd, the sheep are not stupid. They know this is not the shepherd. And it's one of the qualities of a shepherd that he knows the sheep. He owns them. He calls them. A time in your experience, God called you. The Son, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Theologians call this the effectual call of God. That God doesn't call you and you say, no, I don't think I'll bother. I think I'll rather stay unbelieving. That he comes to you in grace. And it is through grace. There's nothing that would commend us. We're not impressive sheep. We're not award-winning sheep. We are all sheep who have gone astray. That is what unites us all. We are wandering sheep. And he comes and he calls us. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent him draws me. You did not choose me, but I chose you. He calls us by name. Look at verse 3. Isaiah 43 says the same thing. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. I've been a pastor in various churches. I must confess, I take a wee bit of a delight when somebody says, I met somebody who knows you. Do you ever get that? Oh, who knows me? And if it's somebody important, you go, oh, yeah, I feel quite important. Yeah, he knows me. Yes, that's right. You puff your chest out. I'm known by them. And or people are talking about you in a good way. Nothing can compare to the fact that Jesus knows you. He knows, of all the multitudes on the earth, he knows you. And he calls you by name. Do you stop just to think about that? As you sit here, you're part of this congregation. The Lord just doesn't see a congregation. He sees you. He is your shepherd. He loves and cares for you. He calls you. He owns you. Thirdly, he leads you. He leads his sheep. He calls his own sheep by name. What does he do? And leads them out. This is kind of lost on us a wee bit. I think Leon Morris said, it's not like the Australian farmers where they drive the sheep. I think it's probably the same in this country. You don't have a picture of shepherding with some old guy with a crook walking in the sheep just going, he's the shepherd, I'm following him. It's a 16-year-old and a quad bike chasing you. That's what shepherding looks like in our country. But that's not the picture here. He leads them out. He's the shepherd. They trust the shepherd. Where is the shepherd going? Let's follow him. And the sheep follow Jesus. They follow the shepherd. And he leads us. He is before us. I like that. He's not driving us from behind. Sometimes I feel that. Do you ever sometimes feel, Lord, this is hard. Life is hard. I just feel you poking me with a stick, saying, right, go on, do it. Trust me, you can do it. Rather than being ahead of me, John, follow me, trust me. I'm there. Whatever's ahead, I've already been there. I see it. Follow me, trust me. He leads his sheep. Jesus leads you. He doesn't poke you and prod you and chase you from behind. He leads you. Why? Because he cares. Look at verse 10. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's a massive verse. Why did Jesus come? Just to save your soul? No. You need to be saved. But he comes to give you life. For me, I know the plans and the purpose I have for you, to give you a purpose and a hope. And I loved that truth, that from the day I was saved, things don't happen to me by accident. God leads and guides, and though I may make mistakes, there is forgiveness, but he leads and he guides. It thrilled me. I don't know what I've been the pastor now 2 years exactly today. The 9th of September was when I was, the day after I was inducted. That might have been the day induction. But the second Sunday in September was my first time in harness as the pastor. 2 years he has led and guided and kept me and led and provided and so forth. I don't know what the next 2 years or 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. I'm 60. My mum died when she was 50. I don't know if we'll get 60, 61, 62, 63. I do not know. My times are in His hands. And the Lord cares for us, though. He leads us. I myself will tend for John and make him lie down. I will search for him and bring him back and bind him up and strengthen him when he's weak. And I'll shepherd him with justice. And he may get a smack now and again because he's been disobedient and his hand might be heavy upon me. But it's because he loves me and he cares for me and he loves and cares for you. You're not left to your own. You have a good shepherd who leads and who guides. And after Jesus says this, he says something else. He doesn't just say, I care for them, I lead them, I guide them, and they follow me out. He dies for his sheep. Now, this is quite, whoa, this is very dramatic. And he mentions that this in two ways. He talks about two ways of viewing him. One is the door, and one as the good shepherd, one who cares and who provides salvation for his sheep at the cost of his life. In verse 7, he says, once again, I tell you the truth. In other words, as he says in verse 1, what I'm about to say to you is important. I told you the truth, and the pastor and East Finchley has just told you I love, I care for you, you're mine, I own you, and so forth. But I'm telling you this as well in verse 7. I am the gate, and he's also the good shepherd. And he says this because it's important. He states that he is the gate or the door of the sheep pen. I am the gate, verse 9. Whoever enters through me will be saved. John doesn't often use the word saved. He talks about salvation, but he doesn't often use this word. But here, it is Jesus' function. We are saved through him. It's his primary function, to save us. And he is the door. It's very exclusive. There's no other door. There's no point in trying to find another door. There is only one. Jesus will say in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. There is only one door into the pen. And he is that door. And he is also the shepherd. What does this door look like? He is the shepherd. Why would you walk through that door? Why would you want to Jesus? Why do you need Jesus to enter the fold? Because he is the shepherd. And Jesus says something very unusual about him being the shepherd, that he dies for the sheep. In any shepherding manual in those days and today, you won't find, oh, by the way, to be a shepherd, at some point, you have to die for the sheep. If a Palestinian shepherd died for the sheep, it was by accident. He had no intention of dying for the sheep. He intended to live for the sheep and to be there and to help them and to feed them. And it never enters his mind that he's going to die for the sheep. But Jesus comes and his purpose is to die. He knows he has to die for the sheep. He states it very clearly. He has to do it purposefully. It's not just that he's willing to die, that he dies. He dies because the sheep are in danger. He dies to save us. I like as Don Carson says, he's not just saying he's throwing himself off a cliff in some grotesque and futile display while bellowing, see how much I love you. Some people present the love of Jesus, look how much I love you, I just died for you. What is the point of that? Jesus dies for a purpose because the sheep are in danger and it's either them or him. And he stands in the place of the sheep. The sheep who have wandered and who have gone astray, and the wages of sin is death, and that means eternal exclusion from God. My God, why have you forsaken? The God who wants to care for us can't because the sin is a barrier. We deserve the wrath of God. The wrath of God remains on us if we reject Christ. The Bible makes that clear. It is wrath we are saved from. The wrath of God. To be an enemy and to be a stranger of God and not to know care, not to know love. And Jesus says that he comes to save us. Isaiah 53, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He came to be our substitute. He came to die in our place. He came, the righteous for the unrighteous. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God, that we might be not only welcomed into heaven, but to remain there, that God might be able to work in their life day by day as a clean vessel, cleansed by the blood of Christ. If our sins are not forgiven, we cannot expect answers to prayer, to the care of the shepherd, while the wrath of God remains on us. That's why we need Jesus. We need to come and repent and believe the good news. That is the gospel. We need to come and to turn to acknowledge our sin. And then the shepherd becomes a sheep. How does he save his sheep? The shepherd becomes a sheep. We all like sheep have gone astray. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. The shepherd becomes a sheep. He becomes as one of us. And he doesn't fight against the will of the Father. He dies. It's a voluntary love. It's not his life, it will not be taken from him. He lays it down of his own accord. No one takes it from me, verse 18. He lays it down. He has authority to lay it down. He has authority to pick it up. Now why? He does this that you may have life. Eternal life, which is mentioned many times in John's Gospel. But abundant life. Look at verse 9. He will come in and go out and find pasture. I have come that they may have life, John 10:10, and have it to the full. He comes that you may have life, abundant life. That is the sheep, the shepherd and his sheep. He owns them, he calls them, he leads them, he cares for them, he dies for them. And lastly, and very quickly, nowhere is near long as the first point, the sheep and their shepherd. If Jesus lays down his life for his sheep, the sheep also respond. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. The sheep love their shepherd. The sheep love their shepherd. They know the shepherd. Verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. There's a knowledge there. Jesus compares this knowledge to the knowledge of, I think it's at verse 15, where it talks about, it's like my Father and me, we know each other. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, my sheep know me. There's an intimacy. There was no greater intimacy than the Father and the Son. So it is when you become a Christian. You know Jesus. I often wondered when I became a Christian whether I would defend Jesus, whether I could stand up and say, I know him, he is my Saviour. I wanted to believe it, but I wasn't too sure until I became a Christian. And the Lord gave me his Holy Spirit. No one would have convinced me that Jesus was not the Saviour of the world, that he was not my Saviour, that he didn't love me. I knew this. You know this. You've heard his voice. When others hear the voice, hear sermons, hear the gospel, it means nothing. But you have heard, you know the shepherd, you listen to his voice. You're part of this many flock. Look at many and one sheep. I have other sheep, not just Jewish sheep, from within Judaism, united in Christ. I don't know much about sheep, but I know there's different types of sheep. When you look at some sheep look so cuddly. Others have a big, different face, big head, and you think, wow, that's a weird-looking sheep, that as you walk through. The Lord saves Scottish sheep. You get a Scottish sheep, I don't know. Welsh sheep, there's another Welsh sheep. English sheep. sheep from South Africa, sheep from wherever. We're all different. We're all part of one flock. Wherever we come from, we're all different. We all look different. There is one flock and one shepherd over us all. Whether we're Baptist or Presbyterian, doesn't matter. Scots, Irish, Welsh, whatever. We all hear his voice. We have owned him as our shepherd. We entered the sheepfold, every one of us. We entered through the gate. We entered through Jesus. We know Jesus is the only way to salvation. We follow him. We know his voice. Verse 4. Now this doesn't just mean in salvation. The picture here and then, as now, you tend to think this is just warm and cuddly. Following, hearing his voice and following also speaks of lordship. The shepherd ruled the sheep. They followed. They recognized his rule over them. Christians, we recognize that not only is he our Savior, he is our Lord. Even though his commands can sometimes be difficult because we are sheep who still want to wander, we want to obey him. His commands are not burdensome in that way. We want to follow his voice every day. You want to obey him this week. I'm guaranteeing none of you are sitting there, or at least I hope not, saying, I just can't wait to sin on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. You're saying, no, he is my shepherd. He cares for me. I hear his voice. I want to follow him. I read his word. And I want to obey what his word says. I'm a Christian. He is my shepherd. I am his sheep. That's how I relate to him. Not only as shepherd, but as Lord. I hear his voice and I want to follow. I won't follow a stranger. Sheep are discerning. They'll run away. Isn't it true that if you're a Christian, you hear a doctrine and you think, whoa, that's not Jesus. You can discern truth from error. That is, before you're a Christian, you believe any old rubbish. But once you become a Christian, you know what is the gospel, 16 ounces to the pound. You know the word of God. You know how important it is and how it's worth following. And as he owns you and calls you and leads you and cares for you, you follow him. You're cared for. It's a great picture of life. It's a great picture of life that Jesus comes in verse 10. I like chapter 10. It's not just about him theologically dying for us, a legal thing that's happening here. Jesus cares for his sheep. I want to just finish by showing you a wee image. Over years, I gather up cartoons. I just like Christian cartoons. I think I've showed you one or two before. This is what it means to be a Christian today. Can you put that back up? About Jesus, he's there. Or the Lord, as if there's TV monitors, closed circuit television, and he's sitting there, and we'll get there, and he's just watching. I just love that cartoon. I just love that as an image, and he's watching, and maybe I'm the third row down, and the second one in from the left, and he sees me, and he says, John, I see Monday, I see what you're doing, I'm keeping an eye on you. I love, not as a policeman, he's a shepherd. It's good, you could have put a policeman there. He's not a policeman. He cares for you. He will lead and he will guide and he will care for you. Our task is to recognize that we're tough and emotional. But there's only so much we can do. We need to be cared for, every one of us. And the Lord wants to care for us and to lead us and to guide us. He sees you. He will watch you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. He will lead and guide. Let's stand and we'll sing a closing hymn. It's one we sang a few weeks ago. I wasn't too sure if we'd sung it very much. He will hold me fast. And we sang it quite well. So let's stand and we'll sing. Let's own the song. When my faith will fall and so forth, he will hold me fast. So let's stand and we'll sing this together. Let's sing it like we really believe it.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter
End with a benediction. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.